Welcome to the Kerwin Baptist Church broadcast today. Our desire is for the Word of God to be spread throughout the world so that all may know Christ. Join us now for a portion of one of our services at the Kerwin Baptist Church located in Kernersville, North Carolina.
I want to look at verse 1 of 2 Chronicles chapter 5. This is just an amazing chapter to me. And Solomon is building the temple to give a permanent habitation for God. God would display himself to individuals up until this point, obviously. God would show up in different ways at different times. And Solomon desired to build the temple as a place for God to dwell. What a beautiful picture of salvation. Do you all realize that now if you've been saved, you are the temple which within God dwells? All the work that Solomon put into the temple to make it a fitting place, the Holy Spirit now is putting the work in to try to make us a fitting house to house the glory of God. What a beautiful picture. Look at verse 1. Some things for us to learn. You say, what does this have to do with thankfulness and gratitude? Oh, you'll see. Look at verse 1. Thus all the work that Solomon made for the house of the Lord was finished. And Solomon brought in all the things that David his father had dedicated, and the silver and the gold and all the instruments put he among the treasures of the house of God. Then Solomon assembled the elders of Israel and all the heads of the tribes, the chief of the fathers of the children of Israel unto Jerusalem, to bring up the ark of the covenant of the Lord out of the city of David, which is Zion. Wherefore all the men of Israel assembled themselves unto the king in the feast which was in the seventh month. And all the elders of Israel came, and the Levites took up the ark, and they brought up the ark and the tabernacle of the congregation and all the holy vessels that were in the tabernacle. These did the priest and the Levites bring up. Also King Solomon and all the congregation of Israel that were assembled unto him before the ark sacrificed sheep and oxen which could not be told nor numbered for multitude. And the priest brought in the ark of the covenant of the Lord unto his place, to the oracle of the house, unto the most holy place, even under the wings of the cherubims. For the cherubims spread forth their wings over the place of the ark, and the cherubims covered the ark and the staves thereof above. Remember, we talked about the ark of the Lord being obviously a picture of his presence, and this place was underneath the wings of the cherubim. We talked about when Jesus died and was buried in the tomb, and the Bible says when he resurrected, obviously from the tomb, there were cherubims at the foot and the head of the gravestone because of the presence of the Lord. How wonderful it is to have the presence of the Lord. Notice, if you would, verse 9, and they drew out the staves of the ark, that the end of the staves were seen from the ark before the oracle, but they were not seen without. And there it is unto this day. Ooh. Not even going to go into that today. Look at verse 10. See, some of you, don't you wish you were paying attention? Now you're like, what did he just say that for? I don't know what he's talking about. Verse 10, there was nothing in the ark save the two tables which Moses put therein at Horeb when the Lord made a covenant with the children of Israel when they came out of Egypt. And it came to pass when the priests were come out of the holy place, for all the priests that were present were sanctified and did not then wait by course. Also the Levites, which were the singers, all of them of Asaph, of Heman, of Jeduthun, with their sons and their brethren, being arrayed in white linen, having cymbals and saw. Oh, Lord. Oh, no. Oh, no. Cymbals and psalteries and harps stood at the east end of the altar, and with them 120 priests, sounding with trumpets. It came even to pass, as the trumpeters and singers were as one, to make one sound to be heard in praising and thanking the Lord. And when they lifted up their voice with the trumpets and cymbal, oh Lord, here we go again, with the trumpets and cymbals and instruments of music, and praise the Lord, saying, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Now you know I wanted the choir to sing his grace and mercy. That then the house was filled with a cloud, even the house of the Lord, so that the priest could not stand to minister by reason of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord had filled the house of God. Now, for that exclamation point, look at chapter 6 right there, the next two verses. Then said Solomon, the Lord hath said that he would dwell in thick darkness. But I have built an house of habitation for thee, and a place for thy dwelling forever. Now, to those of you who might be interested, I want to listen to me real quickly. Why did Solomon say that God said he would dwell in the thick darkness? Now, just hold on. I'm going to read these verses to you. And if you have a piece of paper, you need to write these references down, because if you like to dig and study a little bit, you need to look this up. Exodus chapter 19, talking about, obviously, Moses as he was getting the law on Mount Sinai and leading the children of Israel through the wilderness, all these things. Verse 16, and it came to pass on the third day in the morning that there were thunders and lightnings, listen, and a thick cloud upon the mount, and the voice of the trumpet exceeding loud, so that all the people that was in the camp trembled. And Moses brought forth the people out of the camp to meet God. Verse 18 says, and Mount Sinai was altogether on a smoke, because the Lord descended upon it in fire, and the smoke thereof ascended as the smoke of a furnace, and the whole mount quaked greatly. This happened just because God showed up. Listen, if you would, I thought this was great. Verse 20 of that chapter, and the Lord came down upon Mount Sinai on the top of the mount, and the Lord called Moses up to the top of the mount, and Moses went up. Exodus chapter 20, beginning verse 18, and all the people saw the thunderings and the lightnings and the noise of the trumpet and the mountain smoking. Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 22, these words the Lord spake unto all your assembly in the mount of the midst of the fire of the cloud and of the thick darkness with a great voice. Verse 24, and he said, behold, the Lord your God hath showed us his glory and his greatness, and we have heard his voice out of the midst of the fire. That's what Solomon was talking about. He said, God, you said you would dwell in the thickness of darkness. It is the exact same thing as Solomon built the temple. All of a sudden, this dark, thick cloud entered the temple to the point that the priest couldn't even stand up and minister. That was the presence of God. There's nothing like a thick cloud that hits a church to the point that you can't even stand up to preach. Cloudy with a chance of glory. I want to look quickly at this passage, and I want us to talk about the fact, how can we get the glory of God to fill this house? Lord, we need your help today. We ask you to help us. May our people be interested in your word today. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to look at three things today: God's people, God's house, and God's glory. And we're going to begin first with God's people. It's all in this chapter, and I want you to see something. Number one, and we're talking about, man, how do we get the glory of God to fill this house? Number one, I want you to notice something that the people did in preparation for the glory of God to come. Look at me, folks. It doesn't just show up. God doesn't just show up anywhere. God shows up in places where people have worked and prayed and sacrificed and put in the effort, and a place where people desire above anything else for God to show up. Number one, I want you to notice this. This is great. Verse 6, they sacrificed. Look at verse 6. Also King Solomon and all the congregation of Israel that were assembled unto him before the ark sacrificed sheep and oxen, which could not be told or numbered for the multitude. This happened way before the glory of God showed up. Remember, back in these days, Jesus Christ had not come, and they wanted to make sure that they had sacrificed and gotten their lives right. And so what they did was they went to the expense and the effort, and they even went to extreme measures. If you didn't notice it, that was an alliterated outline right there. Number one, I want you to notice about their sacrifice, the expense. They brought sheep and oxen. They had to go purchase these animals. Or these are animals that they had raised, that they had fed, that they had put work into, that they had worked every day to take care of this flock. Or they took wages and they went and purchased a clean animal. And they went to all that expense. Secondly, they went to effort. If you'll notice in verse 1, the Bible says, all the work that Solomon had made for the house of the Lord. They had worked, they had built, they had prepared. Look at me, God doesn't just show up where people are lazy and they don't do anything and they just show up at the temple to see what's God gonna do for me today. God shows up where we show up and say, God, what can I do for you today? Third, they went to an extreme. Look at verse 6. The Bible says they not just only brought sheep and oxen in their sacrifice, but they brought so many that they couldn't even be counted. They literally, they sold out. They did everything they could possibly do with the excitement that God's presence might be made known today. They sacrificed. May I ask you something? We are so glad we just have the greatest members in the world here at Kerwin Baptist Church. What have you sacrificed for church lately? What have you sacrificed for God? Have we sacrificed anything? Or do we look at everything that we do, well, I'm sacrificing for God? When's the last time that we went to an extreme measure? I'm not just going to show up today. I'm going to do something. I'm going to prepare my heart before I go. I'm going to get my life clean. I'm going to go with an attitude. God, I want you to work in my heart. I can't wait to see what you're going to do. Why don't we get a little extreme? Some of you are like, whoa, this is Sunday morning, preacher. You get extreme at a Panthers game, or we get extreme at a ball game, or we get extreme when there's a yard sale. You talk about extreme, and I told you about this. I just could not sleep one night after Thanksgiving. I don't know if it was what I ate, or I don't know what it was. I woke up 2:30 in the morning, couldn't sleep, and I said, you know what? I am going to go do the shopping. We lived in Colfax, and I got up, got in my car. You know, it's Black Friday, whatever they call it, I don't know. And I said, I could use a couple things. So I went to Target on New Garden in Greensboro. You talk about extreme. I was talking to Mike and Kelly Jennings in our church at Trunk or Treat Friday night, and I was asking how the new Krispy Kreme and Clements is doing. I'm very concerned. I'm praying for that establishment. I just need to know if I need to pray harder or if I need to fast and pray. I said, it's doing real well, that new, and they were talking about the fact these people camped out, and I knew the first 100 people that camped out that got in the door got free donuts for a year, but the very first person at the door got free donuts for a lifetime. They were camped out. We'll go to extreme for free donuts for a lifetime, and that makes sense to me, don't get me wrong. And we'll give an extreme to go get a sale on a TV or a sale on this. But when it comes to church, we give what little we have. We barely make an effort. We wake up late. We haven't prepared. We haven't prayed. And we show up and say, God, what can you do for me today? It's about time we sacrifice. It's about time we make some effort. It's about time we go to some expense. It's about time we go to an extreme for God. I want you to notice, secondly, look if you would at verse 11. And it came to pass when the priests were come out of the holy place, verse 11, for all the priests that were present were sanctified and did not wait by course. Number one, they sacrificed. It means they worked. But number two, they sanctified, which means they washed. You see, before they ever even got to where the presence of the Lord could come, they had to make sure that they were clean. They had to do business with God. And they had, as this verse says, they had to get into the holy place. And they had to go and make sure that every sin had been confessed, that everything was taken care of, that they were clean before God before ever even entering the temple. And look at me, folks. Half the time we wait till we get in the house of God to even try to get clean. We need to get clean before we walk in those doors. No wonder God can't move, and no wonder His glory doesn't fill our house every time we meet, because there's so much sin sitting in the pew and on the platform. God can't fill it. Some of you are like, what other churches are in this area when we visit? Somebody that'll talk real nice and slow. Like, what got into you this week? I don't know. I've been eating healthy and I got more energy. Maybe that's what it is. I don't know. I should have eaten a donut, then I'd have been calm and my blood would have been thick and I wouldn't even do this, you know. I want you to notice, look at verse 11. And it came to pass when the priests were come out of the holy place. May I say that I think it would do all of us a lot of good to find a holy place and spend some time with God before we even show up at the house of God. And if we did, just maybe the fullness of the glory of God would show up so powerfully that we couldn't even preach. Number three, look at verse 13. And it came even to pass, as the trumpeters and singers were as one, to make one sound to be heard in praising and thanking the Lord. Number one, they sacrificed. Number two, they sanctified. Number three, they sang. Now, don't get nervous. What does it mean they sang? Do you know what this was? This was their worship. You see, when they sacrificed, they worked. When they sanctified, they washed. But when they sang, they worshiped. This is talking about their worship. Now, there's something I see in this verse about their worship. After they had gotten themselves clean, and after they had worked hard and prepared and sacrificed for the house of God, then they showed up. And I noticed something before they even worshiped. Number one, they worshiped with unity. The Bible says in verse 13 that the singers were as one, and the trumpeters were as one, and everybody came together to make one sound to be heard. Listen to me. Unity is an act of humility. Unity is setting aside your self-satisfaction for the benefit of a greater good. Listen to me. Unity is making God the focus, not us. You know, half the time we can't get unity in a Baptist church, or any church for that matter. Well, I'll tell you why, preacher, because I don't like. Well, because I would rather have. Listen, folks, and don't get me wrong. I have my preferences too, have things I like too. But let me tell you something. Last time I checked, we don't come to the house of God to find what we want. We come to the house of God to find out what He wants. What do you mean they made one sound? Well, they made one sound because they all focused on one thing. That sound was being made for God. Their worship had unity. May I say, and it's almost an impossible task, and I know that, but it's very hard in a large room full of people. There's so many preferences, so many different things. It's really hard to get everybody on the same page. But dear friends, may each of us be willing to just set aside, maybe this I would like, and maybe I wish this was a little different. Maybe I wish the sound system was a little not as loud, and maybe some of you wish the sound system was louder, and maybe I wish the lights were a little bit brighter, and some of you wish I wish those lights weren't so bright, and some of you say, well, I just wish it was a little bit warmer in here, and some of you say, well, I wish it was a little bit cooler in here. And let's just not even focus on what we want. And let's just say, you know what, all these good people that are here to worship the Lord, I just want to join with them, and let's just brag on God. They had unity in worship. Number two, they worshiped with praise. Notice, if you would, verse 13, it says they were as one to make one sound to be heard in praising. Their worship not only had unity, but it had praise. Now you say, preacher, I see right away it says praise and thankfulness. What are the difference between the two? I am so glad you asked, because I'm glad to explain. Praise is something that they praise God for who He is. Thankfulness is thanking God for what He's done. They're two different things. And they praise God. Why? Notice what it says. And praise the Lord. Notice the trumpets and cymbals and instruments of music. And praise the Lord, saying what? For He is good. Amen. That is who He is. It's not, that doesn't give a specific of anything He had done for them. It was just the fact that God was good, and He deserves to be praised for that. So our worship, folks, has got to get to the point that it has unity, and it has to always include praise, or it's not worship. Amen. He is good. Say, preacher, I've had a bad week. He's still good. Preacher, I'm going through chemo. I'm going through this. I'm going through, man, I know. I've seen it. I've watched it. I haven't experienced that, but I've experienced some other things. And He's still good. And while I might sometimes have a hard time because of my sinful flesh finding a particular thing to thank Him for at that moment, I can still praise Him because He's still good. And when you can't really think of a specific to thank Him for because you're so hurt or broken, but you still choose to praise Him because He's good, watch out. That thick cloud might just show up in your car. Because when God sees you're going through a rough time and yet you still choose to praise Him because He's good, He shows up. Amen. Number three, they not only worshiped with unity and worshiped with praise, but number three, they worshiped with thankfulness. Praise was for who God is. Thankfulness was for what God has done. You say, well, what was that? Look at verse 13, if you would. Notice, for His mercy endureth forever. Can I give you one specific? And by the way, I mean, we want to look at our particular lives. And well, I don't really have a whole lot. Every one of you and I, we are only here and taking breath right now because of the mercy of God. Amen. That's a specific. He has been merciful to you. Specific. He's a good God, but let me tell you something even better. He has been merciful to you. Amen. Let me give you some other things that they also mentioned, if you would. And I thought this was good. Look at verse 10, if you would. They brought in the Ark of the Covenant. What was it always a reminder of? Look at verse 10. There was nothing in the Ark save the two tables which Moses put therein at Horeb when the Lord made a covenant with the children of Israel. Notice this. When they what? Came out of Egypt. Hey, they're all showing up at the temple that day. They went and got every sheep they could find. They went and got every oxen they could find. I bet you somebody, and they ran out, had to do something, put sheep ears on a dog or something. I got to bring something. I mean, they got everything they could find. You know why? Because they were reminded of what God had brought them out of. Can I remind you of something today? God has brought you out of some very bad things. He either brought you out of it or kept you from it. Either way, it's Him, not you. By the way, if God's kept your kids out of stuff, you ought to thank God He kept your kids out of stuff. Don't think you kept them out. Let me tell you something. I'm about, my fuse is just about here when I hear parents sometimes talking as if they're bragging on how they raise their kids. Let me tell you something. You'll do yourself well to just keep your mouth shut. Somebody comes to you and says, listen, give me some specifics. Fine, answer them, whatever. But you start walking around. Let me tell you, you are putting your kids in a dangerous position. So let's just keep our mouths shut and say, God, it's all about You. Thank You for what You've done. I want you to notice that's God's people. Second, there's God's house. As I look at this passage, number one, I want you to see something. Look at verse 1. Thus all the work that Solomon made for the house of the Lord was finished. Number one, I want you to understand this. God's house is important. In a day where folks are barely even faithful to church, you're making a big mistake. And you heard it from me. Now, I love you. And I'm not talking visitors. I'm talking about my members. You're making a big mistake. And I love you. Don't think it has nothing to do with me. But when you're not faithful to the house of God, you're making a big mistake. Because the house of God's important. Number two, God's presence is imperative. Look, if you would, at verse 1. Notice this. He said, the house of the Lord was finished. Look, if you would, at verse 7. And the priest brought in the ark of the covenant of the Lord unto what? His place. Look, if you would, at verse 13, at the very last part of it, that then the house was filled with a cloud, even the house of the what? Look at me. God's house is not God's house unless God's in it. Amen. If God's not in it, it's just a building. Right. Listen to me. In verse 13, look at this. Please, 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 please look at this. At the very end. That then the house was filled with a cloud, even the house of the Lord. It was just a house until the Lord showed up. This building is just bricks and carpet and pews. You say, why do they call them pews? You know why. Because after you sit on them for a while, they're pew. All right, you got it. This is just windows. This is just sound system. This is just stuff. Look at me. This is just a building until God's people show up. And because the Holy Spirit lives inside of us now, and we are the temple that houses the Holy Spirit of God, that's when it becomes a church. Look at me. When it comes to church, God's presence is imperative. Or it's not church. It's a meeting. Number three, God's glory is immeasurable. Notice, if you would, verse 14. It says, so the priest could not stand to minister by reason of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord had filled the house. Wait a minute. God's glory was so big, it filled the entire house. Look at me. There was no way to contain it. There was no way to measure it. Dear friend, last time I checked, there are times I can get up here and preach, and it might reach a few of you, it might reach some of you, it might even reach a great portion of you. But I'm here to tell you, only the presence and the power of God reaches everybody. Now, you can deny it, and you can just reject it, and you can rebel against it, but I'm here to tell you, you're going to have to make a decision when God shows up. It's immeasurable. And I'll tell you why I believe so strongly on this. God's glory is not something that we can make happen. We can't work it up. It's not measurable. We don't have a formula. Well, if we do this and this and this in the church service, God's going to show up. And if you have any inkling of that, He won't. Number four, God's power is impactful. Let me tell you how impactful it was. Look at verse 14. When the glory of the Lord filled the house, the ministers couldn't even get up and minister. Which is a great proof that God doesn't have to have us to do a work. We're just privileged to be part of it. Last time I checked, some of the greatest services I've ever been in, God did the preaching. I did the sitting. I've been in services where the Holy Spirit of God was so prevalent, you were scared to get up, that you might ruin it.
Thank you for listening today. We hope you received a blessing from the broadcast. Our church is located at 4520 Old Hollow Road in Kernersville, North Carolina. You may also contact us by phone at 336-993-5192 or via the web at kerwinbaptistchurch.com. Our service times are Sunday school at 9:45, morning worship at 10:45 on Sundays, and 6 o'clock p.m. Sunday evening. Also on Wednesdays, we have our midweek prayer service at 7 and the Awana Clubs for our children. Thank you for listening to the Kerwin broadcast today. God bless you.